Chapter 10. The title of my message tonight, and if you came to our men's prayer breakfast, I said I was working on this message. It's good enough. Good enough. And we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And this is a familiar account about Mary and Martha and what was going on in the house. And in our passage it says, "And it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." You know, there's a lot of people that are singled out by name in the Bible. I hope they're singled out for good. If you were singled out, would you be singled out for good or not for good? That's the issue here. And this is an issue. Verse 39, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.'" Ever feel that way? Ever feel that way? Yes, we have. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Have you ever had a situation and you started working at it and you just kept on working at it, and it didn't seem like you were going to get anywhere with it, and it was never going to finish, and you just said, "Stop, and that's good enough"? You know, if you work in the government, there's a lot of things that are just good enough. There's a lot of things we get frustrated about, and we just say, "That's just good enough." Sometimes I like memes that are on the internet. Now, the internet is not the source of all truth, okay? And if you watch this, it's not true. Yeah, I know some people are astonished. What, the internet is not true? Okay? Well, there's a Greek philosopher called Mediocrates. Mediocrates. And his famous quote is, A, good enough, good enough. We know that that's not true. We know that this guy doesn't exist, but we know that the problem does exist. And the problem is that sometimes we go through a Christian life just thinking that we're good enough, just doing the minimum required. I know those who have gone to college kind of figured out that you knew exactly what was required to get the grade, and that's all you did. But see, the Christian life is different. We're supposed to give our all. We're supposed to be surrendered in everything. And so, good enough is not good enough. Good enough is not good enough. See, in the Bible, good is tied with righteousness. Good is tied with being right. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 15, it says, "And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers." See, the issue is, when we think that something's good enough, there's always a higher standard. We don't set that standard. The standard is absolute for what good is. Remember, the young man came to Christ and he said, "Good master, what good thing can I do to inherit eternal life?" And Christ said this, he says, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God." And see, we constantly miss as a human race that we think it's good enough. There's a lot of people that are going to hell thinking they're good enough. They're good enough to go to hell. They're not good enough to go to heaven.
Right.
See, so the point is that good is tied to righteousness. Good is tied to righteousness. We are expected to do good. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, As we have therefore what? Opportunity, let us do what? Good unto all men. See, we say that if we're good enough to our friends, that's good enough. No, that's not what God says. Good is tied with right. Good is tied with doing good to what? All men. Now, all means all. And that's all that all means. It's all men. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of this household of faith. Now, I got some issues here. The issue is, first of all, who should we do the most good with? Our families. That should be the easiest thing to do good with, is our family. The next easiest thing would be people that are like-minded. And we should be all like-minded in church. We should be able to do good to them. And if we can do that, then we can go and expand. Well, we got to do the first things first. Okay, we need to do the first things first. So good is tied with right. We are expected to do good. Good is the result of the right mindset in God's eyes, not what you think. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind, that ye may prove what is that what?
Good.
And acceptable and perfect will of God." Folks, there's a lot of Christians that think it's good enough, but your thoughts aren't right. And if your thoughts aren't right, your life's not right. You're not good enough. No, we all know that we are not that good. The Bible says in Romans 3:12, it says, "There is none that doeth good." No, not one. No, not one. See, we need to understand this, that God, not man, is the judge of evil and good. He sets the standard for what is good. And folks, if it's not good, it's evil. If it's not good, it's evil. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in what? Every place. Beholding the evil and the good." Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2 says, "Every way of a man is what? Right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." So the issue is tonight, good is tied with right. If good is not righteous, it's not good enough. Good is expected to do all. If we do not do good unto all people, that's not good enough. Good is the result of a right mindset. You would want to do it, and you need to start thinking on good to do good. An evil tree will bring forth evil fruit. A good tree will bring forth good fruit. A corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Right. And if our mind's not good, we're not good enough. We need to understand that we don't judge what good and wrong, or good and evil is. God does. And we put that into His hands, and then we have to live with that perspective in view. So tonight, very quickly, I want to share three things about what having the attitude of good enough causes. What having the attitude of good enough causes. The first one is good enough, and that thought process limits God's person. It limits God's person. And it's especially when we have the wrong perspective on serving God. In our text, what happened here? Martha got mad at Mary because Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, and Martha was doing all the work. She was doing all the preparation that could have waited. Why could it have waited? Because God said so. So Mary chose the good part, and you chose to do that. What did God say? He says, you're worried about all this stuff that you think is good, but really not good or necessary right now. See, when you have the wrong perspective on serving God, your ministry is not good enough. And some people serve out of obligation in ministry instead of love for God. And it doesn't matter if you're walking in the nursery or singing a special. The issue is what is the motivation behind it? We need to have the proper perspective on serving God. Christ called out the Pharisees and called them hypocrites. In Matthew 23, verse 23, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you thought you were good enough. You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have to have done and not to leave the other done." See, it's not good enough when you leave good undone. It's not the way you think, it's what God says. And when Martha comes to Jesus and says, "Have her help me," what did Jesus say? "She's chosen the good part. You're worried about too much. What you think is good enough is not really good enough. You think about ministry and serving me, and that's a good thing, but it's not the best thing." Saul was told to go out and kill all the Amalekites. He was given a commandment to do that through Samuel, because the Amalekites were a mortal enemy to the Jews. They hindered them as they went out of Egypt. And God said they're going to be wiped off the face of the earth because of their lifestyle and their sin. And so you know the story. Saul goes over and there's a great victory. And they take, and they were supposed to destroy everything. They're supposed to destroy all the cattle and all the sheep and all that stuff. And they didn't. Because Saul thought he knew more about good than God. And so he keeps the sheep and he keeps the animals and he keeps all the stuff. And Samuel comes and calls him out. Samuel calls and says, "I've done the will of God. I've done what I think was good enough." But doing good enough for God means doing it exactly how God says, all the way. No matter what we think about it, it's His task for us. And so there's this discussion, and Samuel says, "What's that I hear in the background? Bleh, bleh. Bah. Here's all. What's all this? Well, we will keep these acts so we can do sacrifice to God. Because sacrifice is good for God, right? It's the best thing you could possibly do. 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of lambs." Folks, we don't have the right perspective of God, we'll start trying to do things good enough in our mind. And we won't do things the way God wants us to do them, which is the good and the right. And so we limit God's person. We say, "You're good enough to save me, but you're not good enough to serve 100%. Good enough limits God's person when we have the wrong motive to serve God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Here's the thing, folks. There's a judgment coming. There's a judgment coming. We're all going to be judged. What's a Christian going to be judged? He's going to be judged for what he did after salvation. Our sin was judged on the cross by Christ. But it says here in 1 Corinthians 3:13, it says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest as being good enough in God's eyes, not what we think." It says, "For the day shall declare it, because it shall be what? Revealed by fire, And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, or what motivated you to do it. And it says there's gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. And if it's done for the wrong reason, because we think it's good enough, it's going to get burned up. You're going to be empty-handed. You're going to be empty-handed. Because we thought to limit God. We thought to redefine what God gave us commandment to do. We think that it's just good enough because we have the wrong perspective on God. We have the wrong motivation on why we do things. Good enough limits God's person. Good enough limits God's power. Now, here's what we need to understand. Good enough for me is not good enough for God. Sometimes. Okay? If we're in line with God, we have the mind of Christ, we're doing everything, it will be. But in these cases here, it's not. Martha had a problem. Later on, Lazarus dies. And we see Martha and Mary, Lazarus' sisters, back on the stage again. And John chapter 11, verse 21 says, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had done it my way, Lazarus wouldn't be dead." Okay? "Lord, I wanted you to heal Lazarus. That's what I think it should have been done. You've healed all these other people. That was good enough for them. It's good enough for me." They limited God. Christ had another plan in mind. Christ had more power to be understood. You know, Christ had already raised Jairus' daughter. He'd already raised some from them, but they had just died. Lazarus was dead. He was really dead. He stunk, he's so dead. And so they're coming up and said, "Christ, you are not good enough. Jesus, you're not good enough. You didn't get here on time. You didn't do what we wanted to be done because we didn't want Lazarus to die." Isn't that limiting God's power? When we say, "God, do it this way instead of God's way." See, good is tied with right. Let's talk about Mary. Mary, in our passage, she was at Jesus' feet listening. Jesus commends her and says, she's chosen the good part. Martha's too worried about doing stuff in the house. Doing good in the past, doing right in the past, it's not a guarantee you're going to do good in the future. We all have the capability, we all have the potential of falling into the trap of good enough. Couple of verses down in John 11. Everybody's crying. Lazarus is dead. Jesus weeps out of all this. Because they wanted Jesus to do a certain thing their way and not for the glory of God the Father. John chapter 11, verse 32. "And when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet." That's where she started before. That was good before. But now her mind wasn't thinking right. Her perspective wasn't right. And now what she's doing is not good enough for God. It's not good enough here. She's fell down at his feet saying unto him, "Lord, if that had been here, my brother had not died." You didn't do it my way. God, you're not good enough in this situation. See it? You see it? And then Christ starts talking about the resurrection and gets Martha and Mary to agree that in the end time there will be Lazarus be raised from the dead again. Jesus had to change both of their minds and get them seeing this. And he says this, he says, I am the resurrection and the what? Life. And then to show you what God's power can do, Lazarus come forth. Now, what would have happened if God had just come there in enough time to heal him of his sickness? It would have been just like everything else. But because of this, God got to show more of his power. But that's not what Martha and Mary wanted. And see, in our lives, sometimes we don't want God to show his power. We limit him. We say, what you're doing is good enough for me. I just want you to do the same thing that you did for this person. Maybe God wants to work a different way in your life. We just need to be led by the Spirit. See, good enough limits God's person. The attitude of good enough limits God's power. And then lastly, good enough and that attitude limits God's preeminence. It limits his preeminence. Because if you limit his person, you limit him. If you limit his power in a situation, you limit him. He's supposed to have preeminent in what? All things. All things. Good enough limits God's preeminence in name. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, and whatsoever ye do, in what? Word or deed. It can't be good enough, folks, for us. It's got to be good enough for him. It says, do all in the what? Name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now we're going to have a math principle here in a minute. Okay? Spring break, I can think on other math things, but we'll get there. But good enough can limit God's preeminence. Because if we have this habit of good, give enough, we're not going to give our all. What did Christ say? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And good enough limits God's preeminence in name. Good enough, the hell attitude limits God's preeminence in love. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, it says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Right. Now, who is truth? God is truth. It's not what we think it is. It's what God says it is. It's what his word says it is. And when we start living a casual Christian life where we think it's just good enough to maybe come here and I'll put something else in place of a Sunday night service or a Wednesday night service or some other opportunity to minister. You say that my service is good enough for God. No, it's not. No, it's not. Good enough limits God's preeminence in name. Good enough limits God's preeminence in love. Good enough limits God's preeminence in glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. See, Colossians 3:17 says, do all in the what? Name of God. Isn't the name of Jesus good enough for you? Is he just good enough to save you? Or is he good enough to serve? And see, doing things in the name of Jesus brings glory to him. It's what it says. It's about having God have all the preeminence. So good enough limits God's person. Good enough in that attitude limits God's power. Good enough limits God's preeminence. We got to get rid of stinking thinking. And we need to have God transform our mind so we're not conformed to the world. So we can prove what is that what?
good. What's the very first word? Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't live your life thinking it's good enough. You know, a Christian ought to be the best employee. He ought to be the best employer. He ought to be the hardest working worker. The best neighbor. The best parent. The best child. We need to be the best in everything. Why? Because God deserves it. God deserves it. So tonight as we close, does our good demonstrate self, or does our good demonstrate surrender? Till we totally surrender everything to God, we're not doing good enough. You need to surrender your life to God and trust Him for salvation. Because all your righteousness are as filthy rags. And as a Christian, we need to do everything heartily in the name of the Lord for the glory of God, because we love Him with all of our heart. We just can't have this attitude that the world has, and that's close enough, it's good enough, or it'll work. We need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for an opportunity, Lord, to see Your Word and hear the truth of it. Father, help it to change our life right now. Father, help us to get rid of the good enough attitude and go to the best attitude. Lord, You deserve our all. You deserve our best. And Lord, we just ask that we want to commit to You tonight that. Be with us, time of invitation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh,